Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Chinese Food. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. So I talked to a guy who visited the other day, and he's looking for a church, describing places he had been. He said, you know, there's a lot of Chinese food preaching out there. And I was like, okay, I can't wait to hear what this is. And I said, well, what is that? He said, it tastes great when you're eating it, but you're hungry again in 30 minutes. And I thought that was a very interesting observation about a lot of what goes on out there. So look at Ezekiel 34, verse 1. So this is pretty intense, what I'm about to read here. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel. And when you see the word woe, he's not trying to get them to slow down. He's saying, you're in big trouble. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. So instead of feeding them, you turned them into food, basically. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. I go to Matthew chapter 4. One of the basic responsibilities of a church, of a pastor, is to feed people, okay? So you say, well, what does that mean? Are we supposed to have a food pantry? It's not what this means. I mean, there's a place for feeding people, but you can feed all the people physically in the world, and we'll see that in a minute. And if you're not feeding them spiritually, they're not going to make it. And so you go visit some church, you turn on the radio, whatever you're listening to, and it's some guy reading out of the newspaper, quoting who knows who, and there's a place for all that. Nothing substitutes for Scripture. Okay? And I'll give you some verses about verses. So if you're not feeding people spiritually, people need to eat physically, they need to eat spiritually. And if you're spiritually alive, you got to eat spiritual food. Okay, so Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Big verse. So he had fasted 40 days, and now he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That is the purpose for the fasting, and that is the purpose for him going out there. And here it goes. And after he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. Which, if you're looking for humor in the Bible, that would be that. Of course, you're going to be hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, big if here, not since, if. If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. So what does the devil come with? Now, I find it very interesting. If you look at the three temptations here, the average man could be tempted sexually and he's out. Forget the next two, he's out. But that's not where the devil's going to hit Jesus, especially after being hungry 40 days, 40 nights without food. What's his base, just simple place where he is as God, man, God? He's hungry. So the devil says to him, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Like, if you're God, this would be simple. You made the stones, you made everything. Just tell them to be bread. But Jesus replied, it is written and forever remains written. Now, just a simple thing before we read what he even quoted. Nothing beats the devil like Scripture. Okay? So I don't recommend conversations with the devil. So if you have something to say to Satan, quote him Scripture. Don't get into a conversation. But if you don't know Scripture, you got no sword to pull, then you're dead. And part of the reason we read so much scripture around here and we push so much scripture is because sitting here in this room or listening to a message, you can get attacked preparing for one, you can get attacked listening to one, but when you get out of here, you can have all the armor in the world, but if you never pull a sword, you're in big trouble. It's the only thing you have to attack with, to fight back with. And that passage talks about the sword of the, you know, Spirit being the word of God. So Jesus replied, "It is written and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." So what did he say? I'm clearly not going to do that. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I think I've shared this before, kind of put this out here before. You say, well, Jesus was God, so he didn't have to study. What do you think the 30 years were about? Well, he just knew Deuteronomy because, you know, he's God. He just pulled it out of the archive because he wrote it so long ago anyway. He just remembered, right? You've got Jesus, God, man, God. And so if he knows something, unless it's something the Father reveals to him, he's had to learn a bunch of this stuff. So what is he quoting? Deuteronomy 8:3. "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Quoting that. And he ties manna in here, which is a temporary food, and living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord is clearly not physical food, it is spiritual food. Okay, so back to Matthew. You shall not live by bread alone. It doesn't say you don't need bread. It just says bread is not going to be enough. Now, the only way you're going to need every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord is if that's spiritual food, you got to be a spiritual person. You say, I'm a spiritual person. Let me tell you something. If you're not born again, you're dead. Nothing spiritual about that. So when you become a Christian, you get to the place in your life where you understand, I will never be good enough to deserve anything that God offers. It's all a gift by grace through faith. That's how you get saved. So then you're born again, a new creation. Old things passed away, all things are new. So if that's a new person in you, then that new person has a set of ears, a mouth, needs to be fed, needs to hear. And scripture and the word of God clearly stated here, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you say, well, where do I get that? Let me hold this Bible up here. Here it is. So keep reading. Matthew chapter 5, go over a page. Now, this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he makes a very simple assertion. Says it out loud, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what is the promise? Why are they blessed? For they shall be filled. So you say, I do have a hunger for righteousness. I want to do what God wants me to do. I have a thirst, a hunger for that. So God says, okay, if you got a hunger and thirst for that, then you're going to be filled. Why are you going to be filled? Because he is not going to hold back your thirst and your hunger being satisfied. So what's he going to do? He's made available what you need to have that happen. And I've talked a little bit about all this food stuff. So have you ever done like the midnight prowl? I don't know what to call this. Like you're kind of hungry and you know you're not supposed to be eating carbs, but everybody's in bed and you kind of know where the carbs are stashed. So like the other night, I'm like eating stuff I'm just not supposed to eat, like toast and I don't even know what they're called, but you know, I found every carb I could find in the house. Why? Now, am I hungry? My body is craving something that's really not going to be good for me. And I went and found some chips, you know, whatever, and ate the chips. And is it going to kill me? Probably. Right? Probably. Can I get back to doing what I'm supposed to do? Yes. But when you get hungry, you go looking for food. Don't let it get to this place. You think, well, I got a little fat to burn. You don't have enough spiritual fat to burn to keep you alive the way he intended. It doesn't work that way. You say, well, I'm going to let it go a couple of days. And I promise you, things are going to start going sideways pretty quick. You say, well, you're just talking about being religious about quiet time and spending time with God. I'm just talking about daily bread. Why would he pray, give us this day our daily bread? That can apply physically, yes, we're asking for that, but also spiritually. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I promise you, you get hungry spiritually and you go looking for spiritual food, he will satisfy that and you will be filled. And you'll go, wow, I am so glad he's given me this hunger and thirst. Now go to John chapter 6. So this is a big old bad long chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but almost. A lot of confusion about this. And it's one of the reasons you, if you're going to go to Scripture, you can't read something like this and then go, oh my gosh, I'm out. I don't get it. This is too wacky. And you walk away, which is exactly what happened in John chapter 6. So without getting the whole thing in here, at the beginning of this, Jesus is going to feed 5,000 people. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. They just counted the men 5,000, so who knows how many people are actually there? Thousands of people. And he takes this little lunch and does what? Blesses it, and boom, feeds 5,000 people. You go, oh my gosh, let's stay near him. We'll never have to work again. Go down to verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? How'd you get here? Like, well, dude, where you been? How'd you get here? We know you didn't get in that boat. You know, simple stuff. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, now look, he just goes right at him. I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You're not here because of any kind of miraculous signs. I fed you, and you're here for more food. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Now, this is where this gets wacky, because if you don't know the difference between physical things that are described in the Bible and spiritual concepts that are described in the Bible, you can take everything physically and go, well, that doesn't make any sense. And it's all in this story. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Like, do a trick, do a miracle. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they bring up, you know, our ancestors, they were starving out in the wilderness, and boom, manna falls from heaven and he feeds them. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Okay, so what does he call himself? He is the bread they need. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So you say, well, if I find Jesus, I will never have to eat again, and I'll never have to drink water again. Of course, that's not the point. But what will be satisfied? Your hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied when you find Jesus and you continue to feed on him and make him critical, essential, the core of your life. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of my Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? So they didn't believe. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now listen to this. Look at what he's saying. And by the way, if you think, well, one day I'm going to come to Jesus. If you hear his voice and he draws you, you better come now, because that may never happen again. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So if you believe in Jesus, it's because the Father has drawn you to himself and given you the faith to believe, and that's the only reason you believe. And if you think being religious and keeping a bunch of rules and going through the motions is going to accomplish this, it is not. And when he's drawn you, you'll know it's him. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Talking about himself. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. So you don't need more manna, temporary physical manna. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, what is he talking about? Giving his flesh. He's going to die physically on the cross. And the bread, when you get into communion, deals with his flesh, the wine, the blood. So he's literally talking about sacrificing his life. And then they go sideways. Verse 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Okay, now we're going to, and it's cannibalism. Now this is going to be cannibalism. Why is this so hard for them? Because they're still thinking physically. They're not thinking spiritually. They're thinking about the physical and what he is saying and having no idea that he's talking about spiritual things. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat, he just makes it worse, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So what is essential, very simply, if you drink something and you're thirsty, you say, well, this is no-brainer stuff. That's why I'm saying it's so no-brainer. I can be dying of thirst and sit in a tub of water and die of thirst. I could be dying of thirst and sit in the middle of the lake on a boat and die of thirst in a boat in the middle of the lake surrounded by water. What has to happen for you not to die of thirst if you have water, if you have a liquid? You have to drink it. You can be starving and surrounded by food. Unless you get that food in you, you got nothing. So you can be surrounded by Jesus, all of his teachings, all this stuff, but if you don't get him in you, if you don't literally ingest him spiritually, you don't get him in you spiritually, you are going to starve to death. You're going to die of thirst because you don't have him in you. And then it gets so sad. Verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, ew, dude, another dude here. Dude, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? What's so hard about this? If you make it physical, it's cannibalism. If you understand he's speaking spiritually, you go, okay, I get it. That's simple. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Like what I've said, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? You think this is hard for you to hear. What if you see me go back up into heaven? And they've already said, a bunch of them said, isn't he so-and-so's son and from somewhere like this? He ain't no bread from heaven. He's just some carpenter from, you know, exactly. And then here's your answer, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So you see the context, this verse? So what's he saying? It's not the flesh. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm talking to you about spiritual things. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And then some extraordinary stuff unravels here. Verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to your spirit and their life. But some of you who don't believe. And then verse 66, and this is so bizarre to me because the original scriptures don't have any numbers. So the Bible has no numbers. When you get the original Greek, Hebrew, all, you know, there's no numbers. So the numbers were added to give us verses. How in the world did John 6, 66 land on this verse of all places? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, there's still 12 left at that point, and he's just talked about the ones that would betray him, and the one that would betray him stayed. And this is his question. Do you also want to go away? Are you out of here too? You want to leave? Crazy thing for a leader to say to his followers, and specifically to the 12, because these are the guys he said to follow me. He said, okay, I've laid all this out. Are you out? Verse 68, but Simon Peter answered him. And this is one of the greatest answers in all of Scripture. Lord, to whom shall we go? Like, really? Like, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. So what did Peter get? That everything he had just talked about was eternal life, not a bunch of cannibalism mess. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe. It's very interesting. We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Holy cow, what an assertion. Where did he get that? He didn't have it originally, because at some point, what does he say? We have come to believe, and we know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can't be a Christian without knowing that. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a rabbi. He's not just a nice guy. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Then verse 70, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul writes to this screwed up church, a bunch of people, Christians, and I, brethren, talking to Christians. And he says, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And I went over this a while back, and I believe this to be true because it says it here. If you're a babe in Christ, there's a very good chance you're still carnal. So if you're not going to remain carnal because you're just getting going, you still got things you're struggling with, then to get past that, you have to grow up. I could not speak to you as to spiritual people. What's the difference in speaking to babes in Christ, carnal or spiritual people? Spiritual people understand and grasp spiritual truths. Carnal people can't discern, they don't know the difference. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. There's an appropriate time to feed a child milk. Great. But at some point you have to move to solid food. And he says, I can't do that. Even now I still can't eat solid food. Why? Verse 3, for you are still carnal. Now, if you're wondering whether you're still carnal or spiritual, and you're growing up and things are moving on, look at the rest of verse 3. For you're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Like, that's just how everybody lives. That's carnal. That's going back to the old life. You're jealous of people. There's strife, divisions. You go in some churches and you go, what in the world is going on? People fighting over stupid stuff, just crazy stuff. Well, that's not fair. So-and-so's got that, and they got that position, and they overlooked me, and just insane stuff, like you're just back at the workplace somewhere. Strife, divisions, behaving like mere men. For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? So they're all trying to claim, well, I came to Jesus through this guy. Like, who cares who you came to Jesus through? You came to Jesus.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So that the focus is back on God. Why do you need the scriptures? If you don't read the scriptures, you're going to remain a babe in Christ, milk, carnal, it's going nowhere, and then this is what your life's going to be characterized by. And all you'll eat is Chinese takeout the rest of your life. Find somebody to tell you something that for about 30 minutes, and then you're hungry again, but you don't want to eat anyway. So as great as this is that we're in this room and people beyond here listening on the radio or podcast, whatever you're listening to, okay, great, you're listening. But you have got to get your own Bible and do your own digging and do your own reading and, you know, get in the scripture. Because it's not enough from a Sunday to a Sunday. It doesn't work because some of you aren't making it once a month. And I can almost guarantee you that people don't show up in a church gathering for a month ain't in the scriptures. Because if you're in the scriptures, it's going to send you back to a gathering of believers.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.